Welcome to the Daily Stoic Podcast, where each day we read a passage of ancient wisdom designed to help you in your everyday life. But on Fridays, we not only read this daily meditation, but I try to answer some questions from listeners and fellow Stoics who are trying to apply this philosophy, whatever it is they happen to do. Sometimes these are from talks. Sometimes these are people who come up to talk to me on the street. Sometimes these are written in or emailed from listeners. But I hope in answering their questions, I can answer your questions, give a little more guidance on this philosophy we're all trying to follow. It's just happening. It feels terrible to hear that someone is breaking up with you, or that your retirement portfolio has dropped significantly in recent months. To find out that the company you've invested your entire career in is laying you off, that your father doesn't accept the person you love or how you live your life. We want it to be otherwise, so we're disappointed. It hurts, so we take it personally. In Meg Mason's wonderful novel, Sorrow and Bliss, a great podcast episode with her, Martha's mother, who has always been unhappy and resentful, goes into recovery and stops drinking. With time, she comes to realize that she had been living life as if it was happening to her. The adversity, the losses, the frustrations, the disappointments. In actuality, none of this happened to her. It was just happening. Just was. This is what the Stoics want us to realize. Fortune is not out to get you. Life is not picking on you. This is just what's happening, period. It happens to involve you, but it does not revolve around you. The sooner we accept this, the less painful all of it will be, the less harmed we'll feel, and thus, as Marcus Aurelius writes in Meditations, the less harmed we will be. What's happening in the world, what's happening in the economy, at work, inside other people, we need to stop seeing the world through a lens, how it impacts us, because it doesn't have anything to do with us. It's happening as it always has and always will. It's driven by forces we can't comprehend, decisions and factors we don't control. All we can do is step back and observe. All we can do is accept what is. All we can do is decide not to be upset, hurt, offended, broken, or bitter. The Daily Stoic is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. One of the cool things about podcasts is that you can multitask while you're listening, but depending on what you're doing right now, like for instance, if you're not in some kind of moving vehicle, there's something else you could be doing. You could be getting an auto quote from Progressive Insurance. It's easy and you could save money by doing it right from your phone. Drivers who save by switching to Progressive save nearly $700 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Discounts for having multiple vehicles on your policy, being a homeowner, and more. So just like your favorite podcast, Progressive will be with you 24/7, 365 days a year, so you're protected no matter what. Multitask right now. Quote your car insurance at progressive.com to join over 29 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $698 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I have so many takeaways from your wonderful presentation. Thank you very, very much.
Appreciate
one of the ones that I love the most, I think, is asking for help is refusing to not give up. I thought that was really profound. So thank you so much. And I've really never thought about reading the history to learn how to handle today's challenges. I'm guilty of turning on the cable news and watching my internet. But you reference Marcus an awful lot. Mm-hmm. Could you spell his last name? And do you have any books or readings that you would recommend?
I very much do. This is like my favorite question to ask. So Marcus Aurelius, A-U-R-E-L-I-U-S. This is the old guy in the movie Gladiator that Joaquin Phoenix's character kills, if you need to remember. Marcus Aurelius is the emperor of Rome. He writes one book. This is Meditations, which he doesn't think would ever be published. It's a remarkable book because it is the private diary of a human being under enormous stress and difficulty, writing notes to himself about how to be better. He's writing it on the campaign trail. He's writing it in his tent on the front lines of the battle. I prefer the Gregory Hayes translation here from Marcus Aurelius from the Modern Library. It's one of my favorites. There's, let me see if I have another edition of it. It's usually, the edition now is black. It has like a bird on it. Another edition I like, this is an annotated edition that came out this year. Marcus Aurelius's Meditations, translated by Robin Waterfeld. Here, let me, I'll actually, I'm somewhat biased here. I have a bookstore, and I carry this one here, so I'll put it in the chat, and you guys can send it around as a link. These are my two favorite translations here, the Gregory Hayes translation and the Robin Waterfeld edition. Now, there's also a book that I enjoy by a guy named Donald Robertson called How to Think Like a Roman Emperor, The Philosophy of Marcus Aurelius, which I am linking to here. So if you guys could share that with everyone, that would be great. But those are my three favorite translations or my three favorite books about Marcus Aurelius. I also have a book called The Daily Stoic, which I do one page a day about Stoic philosophy, and an email about it, which you can sign up totally for free at dailystoic.com. The idea being that I think Stoicism is not just a thing you do one time, but it's an active daily practice. And so you should be returning to it always. I think in Meditations, Marcus Aurelius cites the philosopher or the poet Heraclitus, who said that we never step in the same river twice. And the idea being that we perceive things differently when we come back to them. So when I say that Stoicism is something we should read about, I mean not just once, but ideally again and again to come back to in moments of difficulty or crisis, because you'll find that, I think, as you do when you read the Bible, that there seems to be a way that this timeless work surfaces exactly what you need at exactly the moment you need it, even though it, of course, has no idea who you are or what you're going through.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Well, hello, Ryan. It's Shireen Brown here. I'm sitting next to the person who's
waiting. God, I see ya.
Well, thank you so much for being here today. It's been really informational, and it seems a lot of the things that you're sharing with Stoicism seems to mark our lives quite closely. There are a couple of comments that you made, I think, that would suit a lot of folks here in this room, and those were the ivory shoulders, because the support that we provide to our other halves as military members is those who are around them that carry as much of the weight as those who are in the role. I think we feel that a lot.
With a lot less credit as well.
That's so true. The other half of it was, and I don't know how much of this pertains to many of us, because the longer we're in this, the more we realize the responsibilities that come with this particular role. And when you mentioned that Marcus Aurelius wept, realizing that he was chosen to be in this role, he recognized the responsibility associated. I don't know that our other halves wept, but perhaps their other halves might have wept and realizing the role they were about to step into. So my question for you really is, with Stoicism as it parallels so much of our lives associated with the military, how in your world has Stoicism, was there an event or a circumstance that kind of arose that brought you closer to what Stoicism is? How did you become so involved, and how is it relevant to your life?
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, it's funny to go to the idea of the difference between the reception of the person and the spouse. I remember when I sold one of my books a few years ago, my editor called me to congratulate me on the deal, and she called my wife to apologize. It was great news for me, but it meant an enormous amount of sacrifice and unpleasantness for her, which I'm sure all of you can relate to. You're quite proud and excited about the promotion or the new posting, but you also know all the back end details and compromises and sacrifices and problems that come along with that. And one of the things I've tried to do as I've written about the Stoics, there's a book I did a few years ago called Lives of the Stoics, which tried to look at who the Stoics actually were as people, because they weren't just philosophers, they had to apply this practice. It is unfortunate because of the way that history has gone and sexism and patriarchy and all these things. History was primarily focused on the contributions or the achievements of men. There are a few exceptions. There's one explicitly Stoic female from the ancient world, Portia Cato, who's the daughter of Cato, and women were allowed to study Stoicism. Musonius Rufus, one of the early teachers of Stoicism, says, you know, virtue doesn't care about gender. But it strikes me that as history has history celebrates, let's say, the response of one Stoic to the news that he has been exiled, or that his fortune has been confiscated by the government, or that he's forced to go out and fight on the battlefield. All these achievements that the literature focuses on of the Stoics obscures the greater Stoic act of the people that they left behind, the family who supported them, the family who had to pack up all the belongings, the family who had less choice, who weren't being rewarded. There's a story I love from Robert Caro, the biographer of Lyndon Johnson. He and his wife wrote this, worked on this epic series of about Lyndon Johnson. Of course, his name is on the cover and her name is in the acknowledgments. But in one of the scenes, he's talking, he's exploring the Texas Hill Country of Lyndon Johnson's childhood. And as he comes to understand the enormous difficulty of the lives of these women out there without electricity, without running water, worried for their safety, often home alone for days on end, he says, we hear a lot about the gunfights and cowboys of the Old West, but we don't talk very much about a woman fetching water from the well while recovering from a perineal tear, right? And so when I think about who's actually been the Stoic throughout history, it's not just the person charging into battle or leading the empire. It's, as you said, it's the person behind the scenes, the person who's got the ivory shoulders that the person with the ivory shoulders is leaning on or crying into. And so I very much, again, acknowledge and celebrate your enormous contributions to not just our armed forces, but the safety of the world upon which those armed forces are tasked with defending. For me, Stoicism was something I came to as a young man in college. I was at a conference like this, and I asked for a recommendation about a book recommendation, and I came to Marcus Aurelius that way. And it's been, my sort of Bible over these last decade and a half. It's been what I've tried to base my life on. It's been what I've tried to live up to, and now it's, you know, my immense pleasure to be able to write about it and bring it to an audience that, again, probably doesn't think that philosophy is accessible or practical to them, but in my view is exactly who should be, integrating these principles into what they do.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Daily Stoic early and ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to the best one yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to the best one yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.